Well, hello there, boys and girls. Theoretically, we're recording today. Theoretically,
hopefully.
It will go up on the internet.
Right.
We don't know, but we are going to try. So, let me get this back up to the top where I can start all over again. And I've got today's date there. Let's see. Okay, I got a cursor. Chilly, windy, cold, wondering what the hell happening to the world. Tornadoes going around through Florida.
Right.
And I always think it's funny because on the news, it's gloom, doom, and you're all going to die. And it's an EF0.
Yeah. My mom was already texting me this morning and my sister. It's like, quit watching any of those channels.
We were talking about it earlier. ABC News comes on. And there was a tsunami going to hit the west coast of the United States.
Right.
And they said it's going to be 1 to 2 foot tsunami. And we've had those before, just a few years ago. And it actually did quite a bit of damage in one of the marinas I saw. All the boats started whipping because it was moving quick.
Right.
Well, this one was much less intense, unless you listen to ABC News. On ABC News, it was, oh my God, there's a tsunami coming. And there was one picture of a wave hitting a seawall where it went over a guy.
Yeah.
And that was the only video they used because everything else showed that it was really just nothing.
Right. Evacuate the beaches.
Go
to higher mountains.
God. You know, yeah. It could have been any news outlet because they're all sensationalist. They all want you to understand, you are going to die. You need to pay attention to us so you don't die.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what's going on. Oh, planet's going nuts. Let's see. I think I'm set. I got the caps lock off. Now, because the front just hit, we're recording this on Sunday the 16th. If front hits, the fishing's going to suck for a few hours to a day or two.
Right.
And I'm going to guess this one Monday. I think the wind is really supposed to be blowing tomorrow as well.
Yeah, that's supposed to be like sustained 20 to 25, what I read this morning on the wind finder and whatever other wind one.
So maybe on the river or in a canal or something, but I don't think you're going to be doing much open water fishing.
Nope.
But we're going to give this a shot. Most of what this is what we know has been happening. And we'll try and do one of these on Tuesday or so to try and give an update more realistic to the time. Because after a front hits, everything can change.
I think this is going to be one of those, because looking at the 14-day forecast, this is going to move a lot more fish up into the river and into the canals because it's been so warm. I think this is going to be the game changer to get it into that wintertime pattern.
And I think this is going to bring the sheephead up. This is going to kickstart our supposed wintertime fishing, because December, it was like September. It wasn't cold.
Yeah.
Up on the Peace River, anything going on?
Been pretty quiet, honestly. Haven't heard a whole heck of a lot. Just being too warm. Water temperature up there, those like 68, 69 is what a guy had yesterday.
What about I-75?
A couple snook have been there. One guy hooked a juvenile tarpon the other day. Other than that, that's about all I've heard. It's been a little on the quieter side.
All right, going down to the 41 Bridge.
A couple of baby bull sharks have been caught off of that park right there across the street from the towers.
Chester Arthur? Or?
No, the one, the catwalk that goes under
the
bridges.
Oh, the catwalk. That's Live Oak.
Live Oak. Live Oak Point.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, anything else besides bull sharks?
A couple of trout, a couple of snook at night, and that's about it. Been good, but not great.
Okay. Lashley?
Haven't gotten anything there at all this week.
Okay. Bayshore Pier?
Nothing at all again there.
All right. Port Charlotte Canals? Port Charlotte Beach?
Port Charlotte Beach has had the, they've caught one cobia off of there this week, several snook, and what else was he catching? Small mangrove snapper. not super exciting, but good. Kobe, it was like 28 inches, but the guy was super excited. He posted it actually on the Fish and Franks page. On the Fish and Franks Fishing Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had a big smile on his face. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Been having a ball with some of the customers. Guy in, like yesterday, he's telling me he's going to go freshwater fishing and he's going to do this and do that, but he's going to have to, I forget what he was doing with his line or something. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. This is how you do that. And he's like, what? So I took a minute and I showed him how to do finger adjustments with the drag and, you know, how to work fish and do all that.
Right.
And it's funny because, you know that couple that comes in, she's kind of blonde. They're probably in their 40s or something. They started coming in before this at the other store before it burned down. They were in all the time.
Yeah.
And they wanted another rod and reel, so I just got her all set up. You know, I did the custom fit for her with the rod, so everything was perfect. Well, then he wanted one, so we did the same thing, and he got one. But I says, all right, and you know, they were listening, they were kind of involved, so I said, all right, well, I'll give you a couple of pointers. And we're going out to the parking lot, and she goes, well, he's really good at casting, you know, he's really good at this. And I said, yeah, I get that, you know, I said, but maybe a couple little pointers won't hurt. And get out in the parking lot and teaching him, you know, how to throw in a straight line. It's a big deal. Most people can't do that.
No.
And how to fight a fish, how to, you know, work with the drags, use the rod, all this stuff, how to hold it, how to get your line. And it's fun when they actually don't adopt that attitude of they know everything.
Right.
You know, I've been doing this for years, I'm really good at it. Well, sorry, no, you're not.
Yeah. Not as good as you think you are.
Yeah, you're just about half as good as what you thought you were.
Yeah.
And when I showed him how easy it is to pick up the line and cast, by holding it the right way, he was just like, oh my God. And I cut his time down by 20. He's literally four times faster than he was before.
Really?
With less effort.
Nice.
Elder Bean Pier is where we're at now.
Been some trout there. Not a lot, but a few. Some mangrove snapper. A couple of sheep's head, but not gangbusters yet. And then there's been some snook at night and in the early mornings. Overall been not bad. Talking to RJ about it the other day, he took a walk, I guess, out on the pier there, and I said, did you fish? And he said, no, just checked it out. I'm like, you live right by there.
Yeah, I was talking to him on the phone this morning, and, you know, seeing what this, you know, the weather had done over there, because that one little EF0 was kind of in that area. He said it was interesting, but they didn't have it, you know,
right.
Pretty dull weather-wise, you know, yeah. Rainy, cold, drizzly, but nothing exciting.
Same thing that most of us got. Neat, but not panicky. There were some good gusts at the house, but nothing where I went, that's cool enough to look at in video. Nah.
I was going from NBC, ABC to Fox, looking at all the different weather people.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy on Fox was the more articulate one. He was actually trying to do a better job, but the idiot they had running their computer was flashing from velocity screen to radar, velocity screen to radar, to this, to that, and you literally had 2-3 seconds to try and figure out. And the guy's going, well, right here, when you see this, and the screen would flip on him, and he's like, if I was him, I would have stopped, and that's why I can't work for anybody, because I would have stopped and said, listen, I'll tell you when to change the screen.
Right.
Don't just keep flipping them. You know, oh, you got some little generation Z there. Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Because they got a 2-second attention span. You can't even see anything.
Right.
So that was annoying trying to get, because the velocity screens are interesting because you can see the reds and greens coming together, where the possible tornado would be and, you know, projected path. And they were all trying to do it. But at one point, they had an older blonde woman, not older, probably in her 40s or 50s, on Wink, who actually got them to leave the screen up for more than a 3-second clip, and
right.
She was able to explain stuff. So it was really, I was starting to get seasick watching their screens.
I can imagine.
Miyaki River area, Tippecanoe Cattle Dock, cut off.
Tippecanoe and Cattle Dock is starting to get a few trout moving around that area, just at the mouths. And then there's been a lot of little snook up inside the cutoff. I've heard of a couple redfish, but nothing really exceptional. Not the typical rat reds, but which is better than normal for this time of year.
Mm.
But that's about it. There was a guy talking about jacks somewhere over in there, but he never really specified where he was at.
I heard a guy talking about him on the sandbar.
Oh, okay. Some kid on the other coast set a new state record for Jack Crevel.
Really?
Yeah, so he got two records. He got the state record plus being like a, I think, teenage record.
Hmm.
57 pounds.
57 pounds?
57 pounds.
God.
He was only a couple pounds from the all-tackle record. It's like, wow. That's just nuts. I can't imagine a Jack Crevel that big.
No, not 50 pounds.
No.
That would hurt. That would be like catching a 150-pound tarpon.
Yeah.
All right, South Gulf Cove canals.
Mayan cichlids and tilapia. That's all I've been hearing about. It's been pretty quiet overall. They've sprayed so much of that stuff in there that the bass just aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking to a younger person, teens, maybe early 20s, and he was saying, yeah, the fishing's not too bad there. They're staying on a house on a canal there. And I said, man, I wish you could have seen it in the 80s before they started spraying all the weeds.
Yeah.
When those canals were just choked off with weeds. You come through the locks with your boat, and the weeds would be so thick you can only drive, you know, eighth of a mile. You'd have to stop, tilt your motor up, hit reverse, blow a bunch of the weeds off, hit it forward, put your motor back in the water, and idle again until the weeds would choke it down.
Right.
But anytime you found a hole in the water, you'd just catch all these fish. It was amazing. The more they spray, the more everything dies.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty sad.
Westwall?
Westwall has a whole lot of snook on it and some decent-sized redfish, like 26, 28 inchers. And then there's also been a few pompano along there. On top of the bar, obviously, with the pompano, but mostly the bushes and the mouths of the creeks there along the entire west wall are holding the reds and the snook. And guys are catching them mainly on shrimp. A couple guys are doing okay on cut mullet. And the pompano, they caught those on shrimp and jigs.
Okay. Capes?
Capes. A lot of bonnet heads on it. And then a few trout. Flipper has been like terrifying there, so a lot of guys are getting too frustrated and not fishing it very long because of flipper. It's just weird how unbelievably bold all the dolphins have gotten in the last couple of years out there in the harbor and along the intercoastal for that matter.
Yeah, it's not good for the dolphins, it's not good for the anglers, it's not good for anybody, but you know, I understand why people want to feed them and, you know, play with them because they're pretty awesome.
It's cool. Yeah.
But, you know, and then it turns around and this is a case of no good deed goes unpunished. Because once you're nice to the dolphins and the flipper and, you know, these creatures out there, they expect it all the time.
Yep.
They don't know that you're only going to feed them when you want to feed them and not, they're not supposed to play with your fish when you catch them. And what I don't understand is people get so mad at flipper because you'll catch a snook or redfish and they'll go underwater. They'll grab it right as you release it or even try and get it before. And then they'll sit there and play catch with this.
Right.
Well, it's not like they can go to Walmart or Target or one of these places and buy a football.
Right.
You know, they can't go to the store and buy a toy.
Yeah.
And they have nothing to do all day.
Yeah.
If, you know, pick your God, whichever one you like and whichever one you believe in, that is one cruel son of a gun.
Right.
Give him all this intelligence and all these hormones and then say, okay, just swim around board.
Right.
They're going to grab fish and throw them back and forth. They're going to do all this stuff. It's, you know, like us playing with a football.
Right.
You know, they're not, to a fish is just food or a toy or whatever.
Right.
And it's funny how people get so upset with that. I'm like, why are you mad? He's just being a dolphin. Yeah. I thought you liked nature. Well, I don't like them when they do that. Get over yourself. You know. You know, God is he's pretty sadistic and really sarcastic with one warped sense of humor.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about that. I figure I'm related. You know, I have some godlike qualities.
Right.
Yes. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout, some pretty decent numbers of redfish, and snook also. And the snook have been hanging out anywhere from the bushes all the way out 100 yards away around some of the oyster patches and some of those deeper little pockets through both places.
That's the snook?
Yeah. Had a guy that was redfishing the other day, and he was using some of our blue crabs cut up, and he caught two snook on the blue crabs on the bottom, right just out in the open where he was looking for some redfish. Thought that was pretty neat. Just tells you how warm it is when they're feeding on a lot of different varieties of food like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's no perfect bait right now. No. Oh, you gotta have white bait. Oh, you gotta have shrimp. Your best bet is to get as many dang things as you can find.
Right.
And when you get out the first few casts you make, throw everything at them. See which one they want for the day. Because if you think it's going to be white bait, you're probably wrong. If you think it's going to be shrimp, you're probably wrong. If you think it's going to be cut bait, you're probably wrong.
Right.
Whatever you think it is, it's probably going to be something else.
There's two or three of you fishing, all of you start off with a different bait on the rod and see which one works.
Absolutely. Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
Just a couple of mangrove snapper. A guy did catch a 24-inch gag grouper off of there, and he's like, really? I couldn't have caught that at the beginning of the year just before it closed? Like, well, they're like deer. They know that.
Well, that which is closed now?
Just gag grouper is closed right now.
Right. Red grouper open. Guy said, did grouper open? I said, well, red grouper's open.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure I was correct.
Yep.
That's why you cannot find the rulers with, you know, the inches the fish have to be in the state laws. They change it so fast now. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, Florida enacted a law saying you could only change the rules once a year. Mm-hmm. And now FWC is running by appointment, which is basically somebody's sister's brother's barber husband needs a job, and they get appointed to FWC. So all the rules are out the door. They do whatever they want, whenever they feel like it. Whenever Facebook says, you're being bad people, you know, oh my God, somebody doesn't like me on Facebook, I'm going to make a rule saying you can't keep that.
Yeah, exactly.
Buttheads.
Yeah, it's been daunting, you know, since we've reopened with trying to figure out all the rules, because people are still calling, people are still asking. It's like, well, let me look up on FWC's website just to double check.
Yeah, it's because there is no way to know. Mm-mm. What's going on in Gasparilla Sound?
That's been definitely the most predominantly good fishing, has been snook, redfish, trout, pompano. There was some Spanish mackerel before this front came through. Some bluefish. It's been pretty good all the way through there. There was even some tarpon that were moving in and out of the pass and moving up there into the sound area, staying out in like that 5 to 7 feet of water. You know, it's been, that would be my choice of areas if I, you know, with the wind, it's hard to say now, but.
And what about Placida Pier or Gasparilla Pass?
Sheep's Head at Placida Pier. That's been the main focus on people. And then there's been some small mangrove snapper, two flounder that I know of, and a couple of pompano. And those were all caught by land-based guys, which was really cool. Because usually the pompano seem to be a little bit more productive with the boat guys that can move down the other broken-down trestle part.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lemon Bay, Stump Pass.
Mostly just trout all the way through there. There was some Spanish mackerel. One guy got into quite a few of them that was just slow trolling a spoon through the Miserable Mile there. That's about it.
The pier, Anger Pier.
I got nothing there.
All right. Going down up to Venice. Sharkies, Venice Jetties.
Venice Jetties was catching some Spanish mackerel. And a lot of sheep's head. That's been the main focus. I haven't heard anything off of Sharkies. I'm sure they were catching Spanish mackerel. If they're catching them there at the jetties, they got to be catching them off the Sharkies itself.
All right, out in the Gulf of Mexico. Don't know.
Not relevant for a little bit.
Okay.
Been gonna be real peppy. I think that residual seas are gonna be pretty nasty for a couple days.
It's weird. That Gulf can go quiet in a matter of hours, or it can take a few days.
Yeah, that's true. Depends on how hard it starts to blow out of the east and lay it right back down.
Ponderosa?
Got nothing.
Redfish?
There've been trout down there, some snook, and some redfish, but those were just kind of on the inside of the ICW there up along the bushes.
All right, Captiva?
Mangrove snapper. Snook, there was some bigger redfish in there, and there's some bigger redfish underneath the docks right there inside the pass, and a couple of sharks, and one guy did throw one tarpon in the air while he was drifting through there for mangrove snapper. That one's probably about a week old with the tarpon one.
Okay, Boker Impasse.
Mangrove snapper. Pompano along the edge of the channels, and then there's been a few flounder caught over there on the south side of Johnson Shoals, and then the sheep's head from the land-based guys and a few guys with the boats drifting through there and fishing the phosphate dock and the oil dock.
What were they catching there?
The sheep's head. One guy had a really lousy picture, and I don't know if it was a little black sea bass or what it was. It was tiny. It was smaller than his hand, but his picture was really lousy, so I couldn't really tell what it was.
Matt Lachey.
Sheep's head, and that's it. That's all I've gotten from them.
I guess I'll fix my spelling quick.
Right.
Pine Island Sound.
Kind of really good, actually. Bonnethead sharks, lots of snook, some good trout. The trout have been out in deeper water. The trout have been in like 4 to 6 feet of water. Been some bluefish, and then the snook and redfish have been up against the bushes, especially just north of where the shacks are at. I guess what's that between, USEPA and the pass? Somewhere in that area.
Okay.
That's about all I got down there.
Alright, Jug Creek Shoals.
Just Bokelia. Some trout. Trout out there in that 4 to 6 feet of water range, and that's all I've got.
Alright, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
I got nothing down there. It's been real quiet.
East side of the harbor.
Bonnethead sharks from Pirate Harbor to about a mile above Pirate Harbor. There was a couple cobia over there sighted, and nobody hooked any. And then a handful of trout, and the snook and redfish have been just on the inside of the islands there in some of those bigger bays. One guy said he got a 24-inch trout out of one of those bays, and he was surprised because he was back there quite a ways looking for redfish and snook. Couldn't believe the size of that trout back there in that shallow water.
So what happened? Did you just...
All I did was move my legs and the whole seat just dropped about an inch.
Oh, it wasn't locked in on the top. You were...
Gotcha.
It was sitting on the edge, so when you just dropped it down, that's all.
Startled me.
Yeah, it startled me. It was quite a bang. Thought you were shooting at me.
Nope.
All right. Alligator Creek.
There's been some jacks, no trout, a few snook and mangrove snapper. Some of the guys up there by that sailboat storage place or whatever been getting some Mayan cichlids too. then what's his name? Oh gosh, the air conditioner guy that takes care of our air conditioners. No, the other one.
Joe or something.
Joe, there you go. Okay. That's it. He's he caught a 16-inch mangrove snapper off of his dock the other day. Like, wow. That's a pretty good one for up in there.
Very good. All right, Ponce de Leon.
Been a few snook, and that's about it. I guess it's been really pretty quiet over there. A lot of people fishing it, but nobody's talking about any of their fish.
Gotcha. Guy was there fishing the 41 bridge at night,
mm-hmm.
and using shrimp and paddletail shads. 40 some inch snook. They got several pictures.
Really?
Yeah, fishing the bumpers.
Nice.
PGA.
That's a good fish.
What's that?
That's a good fish.
Oh, no, they had monster snook. They were just freaking out. They're down here on vacation. They come every year to the store.
Oh, okay.
And
even better.
They all, their dad or somebody lives here with a boat, and they go out every time they come down this time of year, and they go out and fish the bumpers for it. So they've been practicing for a few years.
Okay.
But they, monster snook over there. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
I didn't bring it up when we were doing 41 because the average person going there and not putting in any time doesn't have a big shot at that.
No.
But these guys, they got it down pat. They've been doing it for several years, and this is the first time in the new store because we weren't open when they were down last year. Still closed because of the fire. But, yeah, I was talking to them, and, how's it going? And they were, I gave them a little tip on how to make it even better.
That's pretty cool.
PGI canals.
PGI canals. Black drum are starting to finally perk back up just a little bit. Lots of jacks lately. I'm hearing like 5 to up to 10 pound jacks. And those are just guys trolling through the canals, picking them up that way. And then the snook have been all over the lights at night, making everybody crazier, wondering how to catch them. But,
it's funny, those little Rapalas I bought, the little tiny X-Wraps, because you can buy a very tiny X-Wrap lure, and it's so strong, it will hold on those 30, 40-inch snook.
Right.
The hooks will straighten if you're not careful, but the lure will hold up to it.
Right.
And, man, they're sold out. I think we got one left. We got one left. Every color's gone except one. And
that's funny.
Because the guy's looking for the canal tarpon and the snook under the lights just pillaged them.
Wow. That's cool.
And I only told a couple people. And the one guy I was talking to about it, showing him, this is the one you're going to catch the most fish with. This is for this kind of thing and that and that. And I said, these are for, snook on the, on the lights and canal tarpon and stuff. And he's like, okay, I want that one. And then somebody was listening from a few feet away, and he comes over, which one are those? it was, all of a sudden they were just gone. It was just, I think it took a day and a half for them to just be out of here. But we're getting
it's working.
Getting the warehousing situation figured out. It's an evolution of stuff. It didn't start off with all that stuff at the other store either.
Right.
But now we're getting so that we can start warehousing more hooks and more of the best-selling stuff so that we can order 3 to 6 months worth of stuff. And then we get down to where we're going to be out in a few weeks, we can reorder. So hopefully we won't go through all these outages anymore.
Right. Won't be as much of a long-term span in between.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to work.
Well, hopefully. I don't know if it's going to, but I'm trying.
Okay.
All right. Gilcrest Pier. Gilcrest Pier.
One little bull shark. And that was probably about a week ago. I don't understand why that place just doesn't produce the way it used to. It's a beautiful little place to go hang out and fish.
Yeah. One of the best spots to go learn how snook hang out under piers.
Yeah.
Because you can stand on the seawall and see under that pier and literally look and see how the fish lay up, how close to shore they are, how far away, what pilings, how they hang around the pilings. Because you can really see a lot on that pier from the seawall.
Yeah, because it's such a tall seawall. That's the awesome part. I mean, it's almost like being an osprey, basically.
If you get a good sunny day, it's very likely you walk up to the Gilcrest Pier and start on the seawall, whichever way your back is to the sun. You want the sun at your back. So in the morning, you're going to be on the east side of it. In the afternoon, you're going to be on the west side. And as you walk closer, keep an eye under the pier and look for lines in the water. And all of a sudden, you go, oh, that line is a snook. Okay.
Yeah.
Alligator Creek Reef.
Some mangrove snapper and a few sheep's head. And then there has been cobia there, but it's been super inconsistent. I think the last 10 days has been a super decline in the cobia. So I don't think we're going to see much of them around as much as we were.
I don't know. I think you're wrong. I think this cold weather is going to bring it all back on, and it's going to go gangbusters again.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, anyway.
Right. I've just never seen this many cobia around the way it's been.
Yeah, I still think it's going to get even better after this week of cold weather, because usually they're cool weather fish, and we had this big influx of them when we had that last little bit of chilly weather, and then it's kind of fading off as the water's got warmer and warmer, and one more big cold spell, I think we're going to see a lot more again.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. Deep holes in the harbor.
A couple of small cobia, a couple of jacks, and there was a couple Spanish mackerel hooked out there too, with guys just slow trolling around looking for those cobia. Haven't heard of any more of those fish that were possibly king mackerel. I haven't heard of any of that again. It was just like that short five-day period there.
Well, they pop into the harbor and they go, wait a minute, I don't want to be in here.
Right.
But fish can't really stick their head out of the water. When they're swimming along, they're underwater, and they're going along, and they don't stick their head out and go, oh, gee, that's the lighthouse of Boca Grande. Oh, look, that's the Punta Water Tower. I don't want to be here. I want to be the other way.
Right.
They swim along until they run into something, or if the salinity starts to change, the water starts changing a lot, then they'll turn around and head back out.
Right.
But, like, times like this, where up until now we haven't had a lot of rain, so they don't really know when if they go in through the pass that they're going into the harbor.
Right.
To them, it's just another part of the Gulf. Because, you know, they don't have landmarks.
Well, that's true.
If they could stick their head up out of the water and go, oh, look, that's a lighthouse, or that's this, or look at the trees, that's Cape Hayes. They can't. They're underwater. All right. Freshwater, what's going on?
Crappie have been starting to really perk back up now. Even before this cold this past week, I've had several guys upping their ante of crappie minnows. So that tells me they're starting to chew a little bit better. And then the bass fishing has been decent. Most of the guys that are doing the best are catching them on either the shiners. And then I've had several guys buy the spider jigs this week along with the creature baits to add to them as a trailer.
Okay, explain that a little better.
Well, you got the spider jigs are just that. It's a jig head with the skirt on it, and it's got the real hard bristle weed guard in front of it. Those work really good in general, but a lot of guys will take that. I think it's a 4-inch creature bait that looks like a crawdad and a centipede that had a really good time.
Gotcha.
And they slide that onto the hook to give it a bigger profile and to get it to sink a little differently. And that spider jig has kind of almost a stand-up jig head on it, so the hook is pointed up towards the surface. And that creature bait looks like it has claws sticking out of it, so when you're bouncing it around, it wiggles and puts its claws out like it's being threatened, and the bass have been doing really good on those. You know, so it's a cool bait, and several different colors have been bought. Most of the guys always like to throw those really dark ones for some reason.
They're into that dark purple, dark blue, dark black.
Yeah.
And dark black. There was a hell of a statement. Yeah. Oh, gee, Frank, I want a dark black one.
Yeah.
Don't give me a light black one.
Yeah. The weird part is, it's like, even back in the day when they were always in their heyday, chartreuse is about the only light color that would sell. Because I've seen white ones, I've seen yellow, I've seen red, but it always seems to be that dark color always seems to be the more consistent seller.
Oh, absolutely.
but yet white worms work extremely well. Purple worms work really well. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's funny because I fish the plums and moccasin, browns, and a lot of those other colors. I've always taken with me because I'll throw, you know, the red shad or the June bug purples or whatever, and if I'm not getting hit, I will switch to some of those other lighter colors.
Right.
And it's amazing how many people don't even have those in their box anymore.
Right. You know, it's like for me, it's like I've always liked the purple ones. That's been my favorite go-to, but pumpkin seed is the other one that I really like. That, whatever, it's like that yellowish color.
Mm-hmm.
That's been one of my more secondary favorites. I've never caught a bass on a white worm, though. I've tried it a dozen different times, and I've never even gotten a hit that I'm aware of on a white worm.
And I'll go with you on that. I don't ever remember catching a bass on a white worm. That's actually a very good statement.
Yeah.
All right. Getting into tarpon here.
Not a whole lot. There's going to be pretty much zero dots other than like the ones that have been sitting on the lights at night.
No red dots anywhere?
No.
Yellow's 50-50. Captiva, Boca?
No, I haven't heard anything this whole week. People are seeing fish on the bottom white, machine.
White dots is a chance. So I'm going to do Boca Grande, Captiva.
Mm-hmm. And then over there just north of the hill, because a couple guys saw fish there. Gotcha. A week and a half ago.
Any place else I can put some white dots?
PGI canals.
Nah, I'm not going to do the canals.
Yeah. I got nothing else, really.
Okay.
It got super quiet with tarpon. It was like a light switch went off this last week. And that has nothing to do with this front. It was all 7 days ago or better. Because even Richie ran out there this week to look for him and couldn't find any down there. But he's always trying to look around and experiment and play. He couldn't find any of the baby tarpon either. He went up the river and he finally found one spot up on Shell Creek where he hooked three little guys. Saw him sitting in the bottom of a hole on one of the bends and actually managed to hook three little ones.
I think
that was about a week and a half ago when he was telling me about that. But he couldn't do it the second day.
So anything you need to wrap up here, talk about?
I think just get ready for a lot of changes. That long-term forecast looks like it's going to stay pretty chilly. So I think we're going to see a lot more fish moving into the canals. I think Eljobean's going to get a lot better.
Oh, Eljobean should just, by the end of this week, it should be on fire.
Right. And then I think the other thing, too, is any of the first-time kind of listeners on this, this is the time of year where you've taught me so much valuable stuff. This is when you want to go out and learn, you know, because we got a full moon in the next day or two, I think it is. It's either Monday or Tuesday. And you're going to have super low tides with the front and the full moon. This is when you got to go out and learn the bottom of the harbor so you can kind of feel more comfortable with where you're going for your future fishing spots and where your boat can and can't go.
What you want is about a 10 mile an hour east northeast wind with a -6 tide.
Right.
And go cruise the east and west side of the harbor and mark off all the dips and cuts, everything. Any place a fish can get through the sandbar without it being high tide.
Right.
And keep in mind, when you're looking at a tide chart of Charlotte Harbor or this area right here in southwest Florida, anything that's not a 1.5 tide or better is not a high tide. High tide is anything 1.5 or more. Average tide, mean tide would be 1.0 to 1.5. That's a medium tide. Anything under 1.0 is low. And if it's 0.0, it's real low. And if it's minus anything, it's very low.
Right.
Saying high tide does not mean you have a lot of water. During the course of a month, you'll find many high tides that don't have as much water as some low tides. Not on the same day, obviously, but you know, going over the month of January, there's several low tides that are higher than some of the high tides and high tides that are lower than some of the low tides. Right. So really watch your chart. If it doesn't say 1.5 or more on the high tide, it's not high water.
No, just, not at all.
That's just as much as you're getting. So you think this will actually be able to go onto the thing in the computer and internet and all that? We'll see. So say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
All right, we'll talk to you guys hopefully soon. Pray this works and you actually get to hear it. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.